must have been 10 years ago that I first met Dean Frenkel. Well, I didn't actually meet him. What I meant to say is that 10 years ago he came on the program for the first time and we became long-distance cobbers. Never laid eyes on him till he came into the Sydney studio recently on his way back to Melbourne from an outback property in Cootamundra, where he was working with a neurobiologist and musician, Alan Lamb. Now, let me remind you about Dean. He's a renowned harmonic vocalist or throat singer. He's also an author, a songwriter, an instructor, and holds the Guinness World Record for holding the longest continuous note. Dean, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you, Philip.
After all this time. Now, the last time we spoke, you just published your book, The Eighth Natural Wonder, which looked at the long history of, yes, throat singing. And now you're compiling a DVD archive of throat singing from around the world, including, I understand, from places never before recorded, such as?
Oh, that's a very good question. The Andaman Islands. I've just recently found out that there are some Aboriginal people there that do a form of throat singing. So I'm putting it out in my world network of throat singers. And so Andaman Islands, there's also the Dani people of Papua New Guinea, who I've been told by a Korean academic actually do the high harmonic overtones that I do, similar.
I'm deeply shocked that any of it survives, because I reckon the missionaries are right. And the missionaries reckon that that strange, unearthly sound amongst indigenous throat singers must come from Satan.
Look, it does funny things to serious people. There's no doubt about it.
George Pell and I are at one on this issue.
Look, I've had a few priests chasing me down the street with this. There is actually a Pentecostal minister in Berwick that banned harmonic singing in the region, and actually successfully. Sarah Hopkins's Past Life Melodies, which is without doubt the most notable harmonic composition, was banned there. So there are people still banning it. In Canada, it was banned for 100 years by the missionaries there.
Good heavens above, and I thought being light and amusing. It's really still an issue.
It's probably caused more damage to throat singing than technology. The sounds of harmonics does do some funny things to people, but it certainly doesn't lead them away from their spiritual belief.
I'm talking to the delightful Dean Frenkel, author, songwriter, instructor, and yes, throat singer. Look, how does the process of harmonic singing differ from other forms of belting it out?
Well, for a start, it's the world's oldest form of singing. So that's one thing. Another thing is, with normal singing, you are singing one whole note. With harmonics, you sing at least two simultaneously. A harmonic singer's singing breath can last at least twice as long as a normal singing breath. So that's another thing as well.
Because you're pushing less air out through the instrument.
That's the secret. I wish you hadn't told the Gladys that, but
that's essentially it. Yeah. You say at least two. How many can you do on a good day with wind assistance?
I have been recorded as being able to get 14 different notes. But
out of the one orifice?
No, out of more than one. The nose, the nostrils and the mouth. But that recording was recorded as a part of Lloyd Hollenberg's Physics of the Didgeridoo. So they had me singing to a computer.
Right.
So the naked ear would only hear maybe five or six at once.
But a good recording machine could pick up and measure.
Got a graph at home that has all the 14 different harmonics which came out all at once. It was like a mountain. It's fantastic.
Dean, very often we hear, sometimes even on this program, about the slow death of hundreds, indeed thousands of human languages. A great many, of course, are dying on the land wherein we dwell. And I understand that throat singing is dying in most of its traditional grounds, yeah?
Most tragically, the world's oldest form of singing is dying in nearly all its traditional grounds, with the exception of Tuva, which has only been doing it for 1,000 years. It's their form of popular singing there. But the Japanese Ainu people, they lost their last throat singer in 1976. And there is some...
How could you lose your last one when you know he's going to die? Surely at that moment, apprentices rush in and say, let me, teach me, I want to do it.
Vision is fantastic in retrospect, but at the time they probably weren't, I just don't know. But the Ainu weren't treated terribly well for centuries.
Very
by the
badly,
Japanese.
Very badly.
And I think that might have something to do with it as well. So basically, the world religion, globalization, and a number of factors have, Aboriginality in many parts of the world has been dying, unfortunately, and therefore throat singing has in parallel also been dying. But the West and technology which did play a part in killing it, I think, is now helping to revive it. And it's people in the West.
Well, it's people like you, isn't it, predominantly?
I'm not the only one. But, yeah, I'm one of those people that feels a sense of responsibility. Hence, I don't like to keep any secrets about it.
As you know, there's a lot of arguments that Indigenous people are pretty good at paranormal gifts, such as mental telepathy over long distances. And although I don't believe in it, I'm getting a telepathic message coming to me now. And it's lots and lots and lots of Gladys and Potties saying, for heaven's sake, ask him to do something. May I?
You certainly can. All right, I'll see if I can make you believe, Philip.
Now, isn't that astonishing? He sits there, he goes into sort of a trance-like state, and I felt like I was sitting opposite a very ancient Buddhist monk then, and then suddenly the room is full of music. It's all coming out of his gob.
Well, since I've got you in the right state for a moment, I'm going to try something, okay? I'm going to try and reflect the sound back in, and we'll see how that goes. I think it'll work. Watch this.
That must be so tiring.
Oh, quite the contrary. As you do it, when you hold your breath for a very long time, when you take that breath back in, you are energised. It's a bit like Popeye the Sailor Man eating the spinach. You actually do feel fantastic. It's an altered state, and it's it used to be very hard to talk after a breath of it, but I can now do it a bit.
Tell us about Alan Lamb.
Okay. Alan Lamb is quite a remarkable individual. He is a neurobiologist, and he's also captivated by the sounds of nature as they are recorded on his wired lab. And just this weekend, he came down to Cootamundra. Sarah Last organised him to come down, and on her farm, they have wired up paddocks and valleys. It just looks astonishing. And so what happens when the wind is blowing, these wires play like strings and they resonate, and it's just the most beautiful sound. It is the sound of nature, which is so musical. And I'm told, for example, that sometimes birds will go on there and sing, and their singing travels through the wires and actually is recorded. Now, I was lucky enough to be invited to put my voice into the wires and see how they would be recorded too. And it was just such an honour to do it, and so amazing to hear my voice after it had been put into a polystyrene box and then travelled through the wires into their pickups.
I'm sorry, your voice is put in a polystyrene box.
Correct. Correct. In the name of art, we do some very silly-looking things, and that was one of them. I stuck my head into the box, and I sang quite loudly. I did a whole lot of different techniques because some would work better than others. The deeper stuff seemed to work better, actually. More the, oh, can I do it? That worked better in there than some of the stuff that I was doing here today.
Do you have a special affinity with the didgeridoo?
Oh, indeed I do. I love didgeridoo, and it does. I actually took up didgeridoo to give up cigarettes about 15 years ago. I had dodgy lungs, they were shot, but by the end, every time I felt like having a cigarette, yeah. I'd blow on the didg. And so my lungs, which were not very good then, became quite good and then better than they would have otherwise been, and then, you know, now they're pretty damn good lungs.
Dean, they are indeed. They're wonderful lungs, and you're a wonderful fella. And it's been a delight talking to you over the last 10 years. But I think I've probably asked you this before, but I've forgotten the answer. How the bloody hell do you learn to be a throat singer when you're a young fella living in Australia, in a city in Melbourne?
Well, I had just graduated with anthropology at La Trobe University, so I already had an interest in many of these cultures. It was at the time when I heard Randall Robinson, a scientist, doing a beautiful thing, meditating to the river. And when I heard that, I just had to interrupt him, and I managed to just get a sound on my voice. From that moment, there was no one that I could find that could teach me because it was very hard to find. So I simply started teaching myself. Then after about a year, I was teaching others, and I've actually found that the process of articulating how to do this to other students, actually, I learn a lot about it. And that's really helped me over the last... And I'm still learning. I'm still getting closer and closer to the source.
And women can be just as good as throat singers.
Oh,
as blokes.
Women can indeed be. Some of the best throat singers in the world are women. And even though some were banned, even in Tibet, they were banned for a very long time for doing it, just like some women in Australia are told that they're not allowed to play didgeridoo. But I have to say I'm passionate about women and men both being able to do this because it's such a healthy, happy...
Healthy? There is some evidence or there's some argument. I don't know if there's hard evidence that it's actually pretty good for you.
I know. It is quite remarkable for you. But it's not a drug, so we can't get drug companies to fund the studies that would actually show it. But, I mean, Dr. Mark Cohen... I've spoken with him about this, that just having one long projected breath is very healthy for you. It spreads the chi or the prana, the special life force energy inside you, and it does energize you. The other thing is, and because you can see me now, I'd like to show you what I call the pelican muscles.
Yes, please.
This is the throat singer's muscle, okay? Yeah. It's under the chin.
Under the chin.
And it doesn't develop with normal singing. And this is what it looks like. And this is only for Philip.
Yeah, okay. Don't look, listener.
There was a frog in my throat too.
I tell you what, it looked like a frog at least. He's turned his head into profile, and then in his throat he would have sworn that there was a small living creature jumping up and down. And we now know what it was. It was indeed a frog. Am I right? Clearly the didgeridoo is, comes to mind, comes to throat.
Yes.
What about Gregorian chanting?
Oh, yeah. Gregorian chanting... And this is really a good answer to those missionaries and such people who say that it's satanic.
Work of the devil.
Yeah. Gregorian chanters are actually singing harmonics. And when you take this into a beautiful acoustic space, like a cathedral, It comes out amazingly. And also Sardinian Catholic monks in the country of Sardinia, they also sing harmonics while they are praying to Jesus.
So, and the bagpipe?
The bagpipe's got a lot to do with it. We effectively become a human bagpipe, essentially.
There's so much going on, isn't there? There really, really is.
And look, birds.
Can we play a piece from your new album, Magic Sounds?
Sure.
And would you explain its significance? I understand what we're about to hear is only 15 seconds long.
This is true. It's called Short Song, but it's actually a long song, a traditional Mongolian long song where the vowels are elongated. And I decided to have a bit of fun with it and turn a long song into a short song.
Heavens above, that's evocative, isn't it? I wrote a column weeks ago, coming back to the Dij, suggesting that in its right place, that is sitting in the middle of nowhere in Australia, say in East Arnhem Land, where it's not called the didgeridoo, as you know.
Yabaki.
To hear it in situ is one of the most profound experiences. And I said it's, in its own way, it's as awe-inspiring as a great organ chord from Bach. The mail I got from bigots, they were just infuriated at that suggestion. How dare I? It was blasphemy. But there is something, the cultural specificity of the sound you make, are very, very powerful.
And it is fantastic that Aboriginal peoples from all over the world have some parallel practices and may I say, awarenesses. And I'm happy to say also that you don't have to be of a particular colour to tap into that awareness. You can, as a Western person, if you do much of the same thing and if your motives are good and pure, then you can experience much of the same.
Got any kids?
One child, Jackson.
Now, is Jackson howling in the appropriate throat-singing way?
Well, young Jackson's got a lot of talent, and dare I say, I think he's got his mother's talent for singing. He has perfect pitch, and he's got a really pure voice. At the moment, his predilection is towards rap music, and he thinks that mum and dad aren't cool enough for him.
Ah, that's children for you. But later on, the pendulum will swing back.
Looking forward to that.
Dean, a delight. Wonderful to see you. Wonderful to meet you at last, having heard you for 10 years. Harmonic vocalist Dean Frenkel, his latest album, which he made with partner Linda, is called Magic Sounds, and it's a thoroughly appropriate title.
Thank you, Philip.
On our next, I'll be talking to Sue Erbery about her new book, The Many Lives of Kenneth Myer. One of them, of course, was as chairman of this illustrious organisation during interesting days. And to this year's Edward Said lecturer, Dr. Sara Roy. Dr. Roy is professor at the Center for Middle Eastern Studies at Harvard, and she spent the past 20 years or so conducting research primarily on the economic, the social, and the political development of the Gaza Strip and on US foreign aid to the region. See you then.
ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.